Welcome to Ignite Purpose. My name is Christina Foxwell. I'm the global CEO of our beautiful organization, and we are here to make a difference to one person's life a day. We truly believe that we want to put love back in the workplace, reduce toxicity and fear, and allow people to be mentally and physically well to work together. And I am joined today by Tara Breer. I am so excited. She's the latest addition to our leadership team from across the world. And Tara is heading up South Australia for us. And Tara, I just want to welcome you in. Would you like to say hello to our listeners out there?
Yes. Hello, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here and so excited to be talking to you today.
I am so excited. Do you know? So we've got to tell everyone, Tara, where did you meet me?
I met you during my time at News Corp. So you were coaching the leadership team there, and you were our little ray of sunshine in a dark, stormy cloud. Am I allowed to say that? I shouldn't have said the company.
It's such a stressful time for everyone.
Yes, it was.
And I was coaching between 80 and 90 people a month.
Yeah, wow. I don't know how you survived that yourself.
I have no idea, but I was purpose-driven.
Yes.
I did sleep very well at night because I just fell into bed. I was so exhausted. But I must tell everyone, when you sat down with me the very first time, we had such a beautiful human connection with each other.
Yeah.
It just felt so like we'd known each other a long time.
Sure did. There was definitely something there.
You were ready. You were ready for the work, and because you'd already done some. But now, today, Tara,
yes,
we are launching on the 19th of October. Talk to us about the South Australia launch of Ignite Purpose. Come on.
Yeah, so we've got a great event planned. We've got an awesome panel of South Australian leaders, and Christina, you're coming down to SA. And we're going to discuss the really topical but everyone's talking about it at the moment, the future of leadership and how it's actually human, how we've moved away from that hierarchical leadership to now human-centered leadership and what that means.
Ooh, man, it is going to be such a hot topic because, yes, of course, I think when I worked with you guys at News Corp, I started introducing the word love.
Yes.
And it was all like, how are you going to get performance with love? And it was just such an evolution of this human leadership component without me even realizing it. And now we're disrupting, and we're going to disrupt, yep, the South Australian market for this topic because people want it. They just don't know how to do it. Or, yep, what do you think? Why do you think they know they want it? What's the gap?
The gap, I think, is leading with your heart and then that old school thinking of that you have to lead with like power and like strict, you know, I'll tell you what to do and I'll manage you, where people now, they're wanting leaders that can give them a purpose and a reason for being and a reason to get up day to day. And I think that's because of COVID. I think it changed what we want from work. And also we've got a new generation coming through. They're taught about self-awareness and they're taught about, you know, trying to find that, you know, spark within and that they should be asking for more. And yeah. I just think that's the biggest challenge I'm hearing from leaders locally is the fact that, you know, they've got these generation coming through that they just get up and quit without any conversation, really. And they don't know why. They think that they're hard, you know, they're a hard generation. But actually, I think there's power within once you can get the right people and get them on board on your journey. I think they're special. Oh. They're more special than us.
Well, you know what? They are saying we want to be in the community.
Yep.
They are saying we want to do work differently. And it's not all perfect, but my goodness, are they calling out the heart of a leader?
Yep.
And I always call this love and stretch.
Yes. I love how you call things.
Oh, gosh. Everyone should know I talk about animals and rock bands and flowers.
Pufferfish.
I said to my husband the other day, oh, I had a yellow roses moment. He was like, what is that? I said, I got upset with you because you didn't buy me gelato. But I got upset without telling you I was upset, and that's a yellow roses moment. And he was like, I can't keep up with you. But
This is like you've got all these phrases, but they all have like a, I call them a
Ooh.
slap in the face moment or a light bulb moment. Yeah.
Well, it is right. It's because analogies and storytelling connects our hearts and minds. You know, sometimes I think we try and intellectualize leadership.
Yes, too much.
Let's get you, and I'm not saying it's bad, but let's do a master's in leadership, okay? So you know leadership, but do you do leadership?
Yeah.
And I always say it's not what we know, it's who we are. See, human leadership is about who we are.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know who they are, though. They get caught up and they get lost, I guess, in the world of who they should be and not who they are. I think that's a big thing around what you teach and what I've like the journey I've been on as well, where it's like focusing on understanding who you are, because that's what you can control, and then helps you be a better leader.
Exactly, and that's the stuff you're going to teach down
Yeah,
there,
can't
which just
wait.
blows my mind because you've been in my world for so long. All the phraseology and the yellow roses are going to drop out for sure. But I do think, though, to your point, let's talk about this. We get taught leaders need to be what?
Strong and powerful and charismatic.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I got told by an executive that I needed to get Botox in my eyes here because they could see my wrinkles and they were a client. And I was like, does that make me better? But so it's the image.
yeah.
It's the image I portray. It's the credibility I'm trying to give people that I am credible. And it's the masks people are taught that they need to wear in order for them to be seen as the leader. And that
People are
doesn't,
seeing through that now. Like,
well, they are. And I
yeah.
think people are seeing, and I love this. Brené Brown talks about it. I spoke about it when I put my unicorn book out. Believe
Which is
that.
a great book. I read that to my daughter the other week. She loved it.
Oh, right. Why? Because we shouldn't have to fit in. We've got to find our belonging. And this is the challenge around human leadership. It's about setting the tone as a leader. I always believe what's okay here, what's not okay here. What do I want to be at the center of our organization? I mean, when Tara signed her contract with us, we've got clear values. One of them is showing up, you know, be kind, be a learner. Everything's a B because, of course, we talk about the hive, but I would have been a marketer's dream or nightmare. I mean, you've joined our organization, you can clearly see what we want to be and who we are.
Which helped align my values with the organization. And I think that's important and missing in a lot of organizations.
Missing. And you've seen as you've engaged with a team, you've jumped right into the hive. Do you know why? It's because you've shown up to be in the hive. You've shown up with the permission that you are perfect in your imperfection to join us to make a difference in people's lives, and everyone's embraced you.
And they have. They're amazing.
They're amazing. Amazing.
They are, but everyone's just themselves. And I think I've never put so many like kisses and smiley faces on the ends of emails and been able to show so much gratitude for the amazing work they're doing and they're jumping on board and like everyone is just helpful. And I think everyone knows their place and what they bring. And that's what I think is amazing. And I think if we can channel that and support leaders to bring that within their own businesses, teams. I think
Absolutely.
that's the goal, right? That's what we're trying to do.
Well, I really love what you've said because even if the leader sets the tone, they bring love into the organization, they've got to make sure they get the right fit of people that would value that. And then they've got to make sure that every single person is willing to show up their best selves. And that's why everyone that joins our organization, from shareholders to partners to friends that connect with us, we ask that they go through positive intelligence.
Yeah, which is a fantastic course. I'm halfway through and I
You're
love
halfway
it.
through. What have you learned so far?
I've just learned the power in being present, and it doesn't have to be a 10-minute mindfulness session. It 2 minutes, like every couple of hours, just to bring you back, can really help rechange and reframe your thinking and give you clarity. And it was really interesting. I actually was trying to work out why, like, I'm like, I've done this before, but I didn't know what it was. And I found the beads a monk gave me when I was, was doing Everest. And I, through my hard times, I was wearing them around my wrist, and I would touch them and count the beads, and it would bring me back. And I didn't realize what I was doing, but now I'm learning how that is and why that helps.
I just love that you brought that up, because, you know, we've got beads that ignite purpose, and we give them out when people join a session. And some people leave them on the table, and then I want to get disappointed, but then I realize that they don't know the power of the beads. The power of the beads. But the key thing is, I sat on a plane flying. I came back from the UK quite a few years ago, and John's granny, who's my husband, she gave me a rosary. Now, I'm not Catholic, but I just loved it. It was made of wooden beads, beautiful wooden beads.
Yep.
And I carried it in my wallet because I wanted to remember her. And the one day I took it out, and I was really quite stressed, and I just started playing with it. And then I sat on this plane, and I used to fly with it around my hand to play with the beads, right? And then I'm sitting on the plane, and I'm listening to a podcast with Deepak Chopra and Oprah, and he's talking about being in a state of deep presence and how it creates wisdom. And I was like, I want more of that. And then I realized, but I'm playing with these beads. So then I had the Ignite Purpose beads made.
Yes.
And we've now got black ones and white ones. And the reason we've done that is because we want to bring people into a space where they're peaceful, so that they can be humans together.
Yes. Yep.
Good humans that are not trying to do the Lord of the Flies moves on each other.
Yeah.
Which happens in organizations, the political play that happens at exec level, where we often play, where we start working, isn't easy, yet the work is worth it. Because we have to learn to love each person, knowing that they bring the best they can with what they have. And how do we help them see what they can't to be better together?
So important. Everyone has a story. And I think it's understanding that everyone does have a story, and that's why they show up the way they do. And that's what I love, the flip, because I reckon in my lot, like early leadership days, I was leading through ego, constantly judging. And, you know, as I've kind of gone through like my transformation and journey, you can start to look at people and just go, I understand. Like, I can understand where your frustration is coming from, and I understand why you behave or act that way. And it doesn't fall on me, but I can see it. And then I can go, okay, I get it. And I can choose what I do. And it all connects, right? Everything you do. And that's why I love Ignite Purpose, because it's aligned with my learnings and what I've learned over the years too. And you just package it up in a way that can be taught. And that's what I love, because I've gone through the process, but I don't know how to teach it. Learning how to teach it, and I can bring it to people.
Do you know that learning how to teach it is just being brave enough to use the language, and then as you teach it, you get arrested by the work that you're doing. What do I mean by that? So I might talk about accountability, and I might share a leadership story, and as I'm doing that, I have this feeling like, oh, I'm sharing the story, and man, I still need to work on that. So you get arrested by the work that you're teaching, knowing that you're on a journey to be better together. And I think, you know, that's where we've got to be careful that our personal judge, or what do they want? What's the other word that some people call the judge, the imposter syndrome, the voice in your head, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
So many names.
Okay.
I call mine Susan.
Oh, you call yours Susan. Yeah. Mine's the ninja Bobby. When she shows up, I armor up like a transformer. You know, and you know what that does? Like, let's talk about human leadership quickly.
Yeah.
Because we're on this topic.
Yes.
Beautiful connection, beautiful segue.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm so worried about who I am,
yeah,
And I'm so worried about how people are going to see me. And I'm so worried that I might fail my stakeholders. And I'm so worried that my people are going to fail me. And I'm so worried and I'm so fearful. And my past shame shows up. And then I armor up like Ninja Barbie, or what, Susan?
Susan.
Okay.
And I don't know why she's Susan.
I just love it. But I treat myself badly.
Yeah.
So what do I have to give others? How I treat myself.
Hmm.
And then you think, why did I do that? Well, why did I do that? Because I am suffering from, and I found this term recently, self-love deficit disorder.
Hmm. That's a good word.
Isn't that a good word?
Yeah.
Isn't that a good word? We're going to be talking more about that, and it's from Ross Rosenberg. It's his work from the US. I do think, though, if we're going to bring human into leadership, it's not just about loving your people, is it, Tara?
No, it's loving yourself as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I love myself, and because of that, I love my people, and I love my people, and I want to get the best out of my people being here.
Yep.
So I'm going to get them to be purposeful and passionate because they're going to use what they have.
Yes.
And then I'm going to make sure that they've got some goals that we're working towards.
And that they're clear on their job, right? That there's clarity.
Clarity! Okay.
I've seen so many times where a team is just so confused and caught up, and they just think they just need to be busy, and then that means that they're performing. And then you ask, oh, what's success? They're like, oh, we don't know. Like, well, then how do you know what to work on? No wonder you're stressed. No wonder everything, like.
Absolutely.
People just want to know the direction, right, so they can run with you.
And so this is the key thing. I love this. So we always talk about making the boat go faster. You know that.
Yes.
So we've now kind of morphed from this rowing boat to a little bit of dragon boating. And in some of the sessions, maybe we should play this at our launch, right?
Yeah.
There's this dragon boat that's doing this competition of which team is the strongest. You know, the rope where they're trying to, I'm trying to think of the English, you know, when we're pulling the rope and the team comes across the line.
Tug of war.
Thank you.
Yeah. In sorry, I don't know why it took me a long time.
In touch, we call it tow drag, but anyway. And so these two boats are doing this. And that's what happens in organizations when we're unclear and when we're not clear on where we go.
Yeah.
And when I wrote down the vision statement for this organization in January, was post the birth of my deeper healing after I put out my book, The Glass Angel.
Yeah.
Because to write a book about your story and to reflect and heal and forgive so many times while you're reading the thing, and then to do the audio podcast, the audio book, and read it 100 times again. and then to get to a point where you have surrendered, then who rises is your wise self.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the manifesto, but that's important. So each leader needs this vision where they see themselves. And in 5 years' time, we are a global organization with consultants all across the world, harnessing people in organizations so that they can be more effective together, which is bringing leadership and human together.
Yep.
What do you think is the greatest fear, Tara, that leaders will face bringing human into leadership?
I think they're scared of emotion and what that means.
Ooh.
Like, when you hear human, people think that means everyone can be an emotional mess. And they're scared of that. They don't want people bringing their shit to work, right? They don't want to deal with that. That's not what it's about. You tell us what it's about.
No. So I like it, but I'm gonna just jump. I don't want people to bring their shit to work. My favorite saying before I went through my journey was, "Pull yourself towards yourself. I don't need to know your shit. We've all got shit. Just sort yourself out." You can hear my ninja Bobby, surely.
Yes.
All right. And then I realized that everyone has emotions. And everyone has a story, like you've already said. And what they do is, when we don't want them to talk about it, think about it, we don't want to see it, right? They sit at their desk and they are dead wood in the business.
Yeah.
Because they're not seen, heard, and valued. They don't know how to bring what they have. They're so blocked up and choked up by their own fear of relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry their story around. And some people are good. They kind of use their workplace, well, I'm saying good, like I did, their workplace is a place to prove them they're good enough.
I did that too.
Thank you. Ninja yeah. Bobby 2. Okay.
Definitely did that.
Okay, and so what do? We throw ourselves into work so much that work becomes the place that validates our worth.
Yeah.
And then work gets taken away for whatever reason and our worth crumbles.
Yep.
And then we forget about what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So emotions are good. Yep. There is a researcher that I follow from Yale University, Dr. Mark Brackett, and he talks about permission to feel. And they're teaching kids in the U.S. to connect with their emotions, and they're teaching teachers to help kids to connect with how they are feeling, recognizing that in an hour I can have ups and downs and all around, and that doesn't define who I am.
That's happening in Australia. My son, who's 8, that's what he's learning. He's learning how to regulate himself through school. So he's feeling, that's what I'm saying about the new generation coming through. They're going to be so much more aware of themselves than any of us as leaders, and what we're going to be, are we going to be able to lead them if we don't go on this journey with them?
We won't be.
No.
We won't be. And the other thing is, I mean, this comes out in so much research that we're doing. I mean, we're going to do so much more research in the next 12 months. It's just going to blow my mind. But
yeah, I can't wait.
One of the key things we've seen is that mental health is on the radar, even in Australian government in the health sectors. They are funding support around mental health in the community. Why? Because mental health is on the rise. Why? Because people have isolated mentally and physically. They are sick. They are struggling. And it's because of the lack of community and connection.
Yeah.
How many people struggle just to arrive at work to be seen?
Yeah.
I had this leader that I was coaching, Tara, years ago, and there's two organizations had merged.
Okay.
There's two really large, what do they call it? Fast-moving consumer health organizations.
Okay.
And I was working with the executive team, and she had her first coaching session with me, and she broke down in tears. And I said to her, "Are you okay?" And she said to me, "No, I'm not okay." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, it was my birthday the other day, and I brought cake in, but nobody sees me here. So I took the cake to the kitchen, and I left it there. And I went back to my desk and worked. Nobody knew it was my birthday."
No.
And I said to her, she said, "I don't feel like I'm worth." She was in consumer shopping. "I don't feel like I'm worthy. I don't feel like anyone sees me. My team have got so much impact to help us with this new merger where our products and our services are going on shopper, you know, intellect and intel. Mm. But I just don't have a voice. They don't even see me."
Mm.
I said, "Okay, let's change it. And we're going to change it by you believing in you." And that day I cried with her, because you know I do that.
Yeah.
Because we've got to feel, if I'm a coach and I'm sitting with you, why am I going to sit there with a stoic look on my face and not connect with the emotions you're feeling? I have to. Part of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that with CEOs. I don't care. You know, you're a human.
Yeah.
And we worked on a plan where she started working on connection, Tara.
Yeah, okay.
And 9 months later, she went on maternity leave, and she sent me an email, and I called. And she said, "I want to thank you because of the work we did together. I have created connection and a family with this leadership team. They threw me the biggest baby party. I'm going to miss them. I feel like I have found me." So she had found herself within finding connection.
Yeah. Nice.
What does that say about human leadership?
Hmm.
So much, eh?
Yeah.
If you would want to leave anything with these people that are coming to our launch, we're going to create some saucy, interesting things, right?
Yes.
We are really going to push this new way of thinking, new way of being. What would you like everyone that's joining us for the launch to walk away with?
I would love them to walk away seeing that focusing on themselves is a gift, and then by passing that on to their team is a greater gift. And that's, yeah, that's what I'd love them to, and to understand what human means in a workplace and that it can hit performance.
Oh, now you've hit the source.
Yeah.
So I just want to go there.
Yes, go.
See, when people are better together, aligned to a common goal,
yep,
allowed to bring what they have, how will they not explode the performance of that organization?
Exactly.
Exactly. Over the last 9 months of our practice, we have exploded worldwide.
Yeah.
And why do you think that's happened?
Because people believe.
Thank you.
They believe in it. And they're passionate because they've got belief and they want to see it come to life.
And let me tell you, it's not been easy.
I wouldn't imagine it to be.
When that people are passionate, though, and they're willing to step outside and be seen and to use their voice and to be gracious, that's when it's happening.
Yep.
And so all I'm going to say is this. When people come together, we're better together for better results. Always.
Yeah.
And when leaders are clear, connecting with themselves, being kind to themselves, focusing on themselves and their ability to show up their best selves, allowing their people to be humans.
Yeah.
Being clear on the outcomes, connecting in, not being perfect. So I had a grumpy day yesterday, but being the best I can be.
Yes.
The work we do makes the impact.
Yep. It's feeling connected to the result, right? Having personal ownership of wanting to see whatever business or team you work in succeed.
Absolutely.
So many people are so disconnected from seeing the results of what their work is because they just go day to day. They're just doing. They're not living what they're there to do. And we can help leaders, I guess, translate that passion. And I think what we're seeing as well is when businesses grow from small businesses to big business and the owner or the entrepreneur that started the business, right, then gets leaders and then those leaders have to bring people on, that's when it gets lost.
Absolutely.
Because you're no longer it's not about doing the work anymore, is it?
So you know what they call this? Harvard have branded this as the soul of the business. The founder carries the soul of the business.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
I like that.
They loved it like a child. Yeah. They loved the business.
Yeah.
So it's passing the soul or the essence of the business onto others so they carry it.
Yeah.
So it's not just about profit. Profit will always happen when we're all connected to what we're doing together.
Yes. Yeah.
And when it becomes less about self and more about the community we're creating.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's what we're doing, aren't we, Tara?
It is. That's exactly what we're doing. That's what makes me so happy.
So our community is also going to be filled with purpose partners, which I do owe you something on, Tara.
You do. Yes.
We're launching purpose partners between now and December, and I think you'll probably get a partner on sooner than later, which is basically Friends of Ignite Purpose that are our partners that help us navigate opportunities to support people to be better together because we can't be everywhere.
No.
And, oh, my God, shall I stop talking? Tara, I want you to leave a powerful one or two thoughts.
Okay.
If you want to leave any thoughts with our podcast audience today, because we've spoken about leadership, we've spoken about love, we've spoken about disrupting the market, we've spoken about what we want to do in South Australia.
Yep.
What are some thoughts you want to do?
Good question. But, oh, now I've got
to think. You're on the spot there, didn't
I? No, right?
That.
But it's good to think like that. I think just as a human or a person, you have more potential than you think you have. So we tell ourselves stories about who we are. As soon as we start ignoring those stories, it opens up a world of opportunity.
Oh, boom.
And I think that's my piece.
Nice. And so I'm going to grab that and then throw the ball through the hoop, shall I?
Okay, do it.
When I am free from my fear, I have unlimited potential because I bring what I have to the world as a learner.
I love that.
See, I did say that was Yoda dropping the ball through the hoop, and if you asked me to repeat it, I would not.
Can I just have you stand next to me, like, all the time and just translate my thought? You're like my own personal AI.
I love the work we do because it comes from my heart.
Yes.
And, I mean, you've sat through many sales leadership sessions I've run. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm talking about when I come to business.
Yep.
But business without people doesn't matter.
No.
Just become a husk of a place that's filled with gossip and toxicity and human leadership that's filled with love, honesty, wisdom, clarity, fierceness. That's what we need. And that's the world I want to create.
And I am completely on board, and we are helping with your mission, because I think being in a number of organizations over the years, both good, bad, challenging, toxic, all the things, I've seen the worst and I've seen the best, and I can see how when the leader's authentic and there is love and there is care, the team is just humming. The amount of organizations that spend so much money on rehiring, retraining, because of a bad leader or not clear goals or not clarity on responsibilities or roles. If I hear one more like procedure model being introduced to make a team work better, I think my head will explode.
I am right, because it boils down to clarity.
Yes.
Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Those two key things. And I think maybe the other one might be, it's never set, like, you know, we said, oh, this is your job spec, and then 2 months later the organization shifts, now you're doing some other stuff.
Yes.
Why are we not just quarterly revamping, tweaking, ensuring that it's still relevant?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that hard.
But that's the quarterly reviews should actually be that, right? It shouldn't just be like a, yeah, how many times I've been in organizations where the quarterly review, people just dread it instead of it being an opportunity for.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they are being managed,
yeah,
in performance versus developed for the future. And so we've actually created a framework that we created based on an OKR strategy, which is about performance,
yeah,
but it is not a shame-based framework to support organizations. It is a growth-based framework which says, leaders, this is your responsibility. People, this is your responsibility. What we want you to do is stretch towards your growth and get feedback on how you can be more.
That's lovely.
If that was what I was stepping into, and I'm used to regular feedback discussions,
yeah,
I'm open for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that means I've got to grow me. And with that, we're going to leave you all, because you've got to come and see us at our thing.
Yes. Sorry, we're going to end up talking the whole way through, but we have to leave a little bit for the event.
So we can't wait to see you there. Tara and I will be checking in every now and again and rolling out our Aussie podcast and talking about the things we're experiencing and seeing in the Australian market. And we'll soon be joined by Kerry Lee and quite a few other of our consultants in Australia, where we'll be talking about how we see the world here, not just globally. We want to thank you all for dialing in. Tara, do you want to say bye to everyone?
See you later. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Tara, for joining me. And come and join us on the 19th. We will have a link that you can click on below, and we would love to have you there. Tara, just tell us, where is the event?
So it is at Therapy Cocktail Bar, which is in Peel Street in the CBD of Adelaide. Because we all need a little bit of therapy. And we've created a signature cocktail as well called the Ignite Purpose Cocktail. So it's going to be a fun night.
going to be a fun night. It's going to be a great night of connection. We want to see you there. Thank you for joining us. This is the Better Together podcast. It's Christina Foxwell and Tara Brea, and we are part of the Ignite Purpose team here in Australia and globally. So check in on our regular podcast, and thank you for joining us. Take care. Bye.
See ya.